This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you that a careless word could mean a needless loss. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Saturday, April 28, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news, and Bill Kirby will be in with the sporting news. And Mr. Paleface himself, the museum curator, is in with things from the war zone, no less.
You know, he might be sensitive about his complexion.
Heck, he's always bragging about it. In fact, I think the ghostly look may be in one of these days. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Roth's Department Store, urging you to back the attack and buy war bonds. You'll get 2.9% interest. Lou, what's new?
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Himmler is offering a peace bid with surrender terms to the U.S. and Britain. Munich is in a state of revolt, and the Red Army is nearing Gestapo headquarters in the Battle of Britain. We begin our World Shortwave radio report with Webb Miller in London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller, your correspondent. German Interior Minister and Gestapo Chief Heinrich Himmler apparently has offered the unconditional surrender of Germany to America and Britain, excluding Russia. A statement from No. 10 Downing Street, presumably written by the Prime Minister Churchill, has rejected the offer. The government will neither confirm nor deny this report. In America, the White House Press Secretary, Jonathan Daniels, said it is clear that there can be no unconditional surrender unless it is offered to all the Allies. The version of the report here is broadcast by the Allied-controlled Luxembourg Radio and recorded here by BBC. Said the following message has been conveyed to the foreign ministers of the United States, Great Britain, and Russia. Heinrich Himmler has sent a message where he guarantees the unconditional surrender to the United States and Britain. Two governments have replied that unconditional surrender will only be accepted if it is addressed to all the Allies, unquote. Thus was renewed the warning to the remnants of Germany that there was no need to try the old dodge of playing the Anglo-Americans against the Russians. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Germany. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is the Third Reich, or what's left of her, Max Jordan reporting. Today, the American 7th Army closed within 25 miles of Munich as broadcast from that Nazi citadel said a revolt was seizing in the city. Reports of dramatic advances are coming from everywhere. The 3rd City of Bavaria, Augsburg, fell to Lieutenant General Alexander Pasch's 7th Army troops today. They have reached the Austrian frontier after charging 45 miles into the German National Redoubt in the Alps. Three armies are advancing on Munich to encircle Germany's third largest city. General George S. Patton sent 3rd Army Infantry 31 miles north of Munich while his tank divisions moved down the Danube Valley in Austria. Patton will link with the Russians near Vienna and carve Germany into three death traps. At last report, 3rd Army troops are 25 miles from Linz, one of Hitler's favorite cities, and next to the National Redoubt. The 1st French Army is 40 miles southwest of Munich. Meanwhile, broadcasts on the Munich wavelength heard by approaching 3rd Army units say a revolt is being carried out by the Free Action of Bavaria group. They are asking Allies to bomb the headquarters of Field Marshal Albert Kesselring. That revolt began at dawn. Finally, Supreme Allied Headquarters noted 47,000 Germans surrendered yesterday, raising April's total to almost 1,200,000 Nazis captured. With the 7th Army approaching Munich, this is Max Jordan calling Berlin. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
This is the heart of the crumbling Third Reich. Eddie Gilmore in Berlin. The German high command today is admitting that Red Army forces have collapsed Berlin's inner defenses. They are fighting on Alexanderplatz, the site of Gestapo headquarters. Nazi Luftwaffe planes are flying in food, ammunition, and reinforcements to this fanatical garrison. We're also told reinforcements have been pulled from the American front at the Elbe River to relieve the capital. Only one-fourth of the flaming, crumbling city remains in Nazi hands. Soviet troops are boring in block by block, while other divisions sped westward to block access to the Baltic ports. I can see trapped German civilians trying to escape in wholesale fashion. Even so, Nazi SS overlords are shooting deserters. Many Nazis are discarding their uniforms in favor of civilian clothes. In Berlin, this is Eddie Gilmore calling Italy. Come in, Rome.
This is Rome. Wes Gallagher reporting. There are reports that El Duce, Benito Mussolini, has been captured. A Milan radio station calling itself the voice of the Italian Liberation Committee says Mussolini has been captured on the west shore of Lake Como. He was disguised as a German soldier. The station reported that two of El Duce's top ministers were also captured. One of them is Marshal Adolfo Graziani, war minister in Mussolini's puppet North Italian government. Graziani was once the commander of Italy's North African forces. In Rome, this is Wes Gallagher reporting. Calling the Pacific, come in Okinawa.
This is Okinawa. Mac Johnson here. Steady but costly advances continue on this Japanese island. The 24th Corps troops are nearing the Okinawan capital of Naha. Enemy strongpoints in the coastal village of Nakama were bypassed. The fighting 24th captured the Jap airfield at Makmato, just 2 miles north of Naha. The Americans were believed to be already through the strongest NIP defenses, and the complete conquest of the island appears to be in sight. Meanwhile, nearly 400 miles to the north in Japan itself, B-29 Super Fortresses blasted 6 Jap suicide plane bases on Kyushu. This sustained offensive was designed to neutralize Japanese pilots from taking off in explosive-laden planes to hit American warships. Nevertheless, a few of these so-called kamikaze planes broke through to American ships off Okinawa. It was not revealed if any of the planes hit their mark. In Okinawa, this is Mac Johnson calling the States. Come in, San Francisco.
This is San Francisco. Lyle C. Wilson at the United Nations Peace Conference. After bickering over who would be the chairman of this conference was settled yesterday, the United Nations Conference is finally ready to get underway. A surprise and super-duper council of the Big Four foreign ministers voted to begin the conference. Even so, another United States-Soviet dispute is brewing. We have learned that the United States will present an amendment to have a post-war review of treaties. This is expected to be another attempt to free Poland from under the Yalta Agreement set in February, allowing the government in exile to have a say. The amendment proposed by Senator Arthur Vandenberg, a Republican from Michigan, is a hot potato, and the Russians will fight it vigorously. Great Britain's Anthony Eden stood firmly with Secretary of State Edward Stettinius in repudiating the current Polish government, which neither Washington nor London recognizes. One thing these delegates won't have to worry about is security, because there's plenty of it. There's no shortage of uniforms. The San Francisco Police, the California State Police, the Army, Navy, FBI, Secret Service, even postal inspectors are here to make sure these foreign leaders are safe. Now it remains to be seen if they'll be safe from each other. In San Francisco, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
Allied armies have liberated 3 former French leaders who have spent the last 5 years in German prisons. 3-time Premier Edward Herriot, Paul Renault, and Edward Daladier are said to be on their way home to France. Also liberated and on his way home is the Belgium King Leopold and a German fighter pilot who apparently has had enough of the war, landed his undamaged plane at an RAF base in Germany. He immediately asked to see his wife in a nearby town. His request was denied. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Boy, that fighter pilot sure is going to be in trouble.
He'll be treated fairly as a prisoner of war.
I mean, with his wife. He's going to be really late for supper. Let's see. Roth's department store and supervisors with us tonight. And they say the goal is victory, the place is Europe, the time is this year, and the responsibilities are yours and mine. Yes, an invasion is the beginning of the end for Adolf Hitler. So let's all buy more war bonds and make victory possible soon. Roth's Department Store in Superior.
A long list of upstate Wisconsin men on the
Clear that throat.
Pardon me?
Clear that throat. It's got a froggy.
A long list of...
Still froggy.
Okay.
There's a Woody Woodpecker thing.
Keep whiskey again. Okay, go ahead.
A long list of upstate... A long list of Wisconsin... A long list of upstate Wisconsin men...
A hell of a long list you got going there.
No end.
Okay.
Yeah.
A long list of upstate Wisconsin men on the War Department's casualty list is mostly men from the fighting in Europe. The lone Pacific Theater casualty is Private First Class Charles Barron of Superior. He's the husband of Mrs. Nona Barron of Tower Avenue. Also killed in action is Private Lawrence Craig, son of Mr. Joseph Craig of Odena. Private Craig died in Germany. Also wounded in Europe are Private Matthew Oswiski of Superior, PFC Otis Rand of Danbury, PFC George Winnick of Superior, Staff Sergeant Robert Rabideau of Bayfield, Private Robert Rostolin. PFC Robert Rostolin of Saxon, Sergeant Toivo Eho of Maple, Staff Sergeant Lawrence Davis of Drummond, Sergeant Clarence Danielson of Superior, Private Arthur Johnson of Brule, and Sergeant Orville Reed of Highbridge, all on the Office of War Information's list of wounded in Europe. Now, area men missing in Europe, PFC A.C. Harrison of Superior and Sergeant Theodore Reichsbach of Ashland.
Rickenbach.
And Sergeant Theodore Rickenbach of Ashland. Area Army man listed as taken prisoner of war, Staff Sergeant Lloyd Thor of Grantsburg, Private O. Lee of Drummond, Private
Robert O. Lee.
Robert O. Lee?
Yeah.
Well, I might as well start it over. Area Army man listed as taken prisoners of war, Staff Sergeant Lloyd Thor of Grantsburg, Private Robert O. Lee of Drummond, Private Louis Brandeis of Hayward, and Sergeant Donald Johnson of Spooner. Finally, the wife of Corporal Orrin Smith of Superior has been notified through Red Cross channels that her husband was wounded in Germany. Corporal Smith was injured by an artillery shell explosion near his tank April the 11th. Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 released a list of 68 new draftees today. The group will leave May the 8th for Milwaukee for physicals. Draft Board Number 1 will release its list on Monday. A Washburn soldier is at the head of the new Italian offensive. A story in the Chicago Tribune reports that Corporal Leroy Stockroad in...
Poor Leroy Stock.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. I thought that's part of his name. A Washburn soldier is at the head of the new Italian offensive. A story in the Chicago Tribune reports that Corporal Leroy Stock rode in the first tank to enter Bologna and captured 400 Germans. Corporal Stock enlisted in the Army August the 14th, 1942. Douglas, Ashland, Bayfield, Washburn, Sawyer, and Burnett counties are among the worst in the state for tuberculosis cases. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
In fact, we are in what's called Wisconsin's Black Belt of tuberculosis with the highest rate in the state, Lou. Middle River Sanatorium Director E.E. Carpenter says 85% of the TB cases that comes to Middle River could have been cured. had the disease been discovered earlier. Dr. Carpenter says the answer is purchasing a mobile X-ray unit. St. Louis County has one that works out of the Nopeming Sanatorium. For $25,000, this X-ray van could tour the county and examine people. Dr. Carpenter says it costs $1,000 a year to keep a TB patient at Middle River. He says the X-ray unit would pay for itself as well as save needless suffering. Mrs. Thomas Foley is heading the campaign to raise money. She says shipyard workers are already filling out pledge cards to help buy this mobile X-ray unit, Lou.
A fine effort for an important cause. Thanks, Mike. And that, Jack, and good listeners, is the news.
Thank you, Lou Martin. An ounce of prevention, they say, is worth a pound of cure, right? Or we could get everyone to line up and have Superman use his X-ray vision.
Or we could encourage people to ignore your fantasy world and contribute to Mrs. Foley's fund.
Probably best. Superman's pretty busy fighting crime, you know. Let's check that forecast for this Saturday night, April 28th, 1945. A little cooler tonight. Rumpf calf. A little cooler tonight with a low of just 36 degrees. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 46. And it's music time. Here's Professor K. Kaiser and the... Here's Professor K. Kaiser and the Woodpecker Song on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, that's the Woody Woodpecker Song. Yeah, he's a-pecking it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head. Oh, that's the Woody Woodpeckers do. Makes the other woodpeckers swoon. Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance and the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker song.
Kaiser and his College of Musical Knowledge with the Woodpecker Song on station KUWS. Hey, folks, men are wanted at Berwind Fuel Company in Superior. Berwind offers steady year-round employment, 54 to 60 hours a week. How about that? Just apply at the dock office at the foot of Winter and Maryland Streets. Men now employed in essential war industries will not be considered.
60 hours a week? Sheesh. Good luck filling those jobs.
Let me introduce... Let me introduce station engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
Don't mind me, fellas. Pretend I'm not even here. And just go on doing, well, whatever thing you guys do here. It's something I often do myself. Imagine making a living playing music and reading news.
It's getting harder to ignore you.
Oh, well, you better stop talking my thinking drool, buddy.
You're still doing it.
Oh.
What are you doing, anyway?
Remodeling the studio. Going to move a few things around, but never mind me. Just get on with your music playing and your news reading, whatever you do.
Sounds like a good idea, folks. Here's a new one from the 1945 hit parade. This is Erskine Haas. This is the mausoleum again.
I got a re-cue. I roll the music, so. All right.
Start from the beginning, sounds like.
Sounds like a good idea, folks.
Sounds like a good idea, folks. Here's a new one from the 1945 hit parade. This is Erskine Hawkins and his orchestra. And don't cry, baby, for our engineer.
Engineer in charge.
On the Martin and McKenna Show.
Okay.
Right from, sounds like a good idea, folks.
Where the hell is that? Oh, okay. Back.
I made us back up. Back.
Yeah, geez. Okay?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea, folks. Here's a new one from the 1945 hit parade. This is Erskine Hawkins and his orchestra. And don't cry, baby, for our engineer.
Engineer in charge.
On the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, just one little thing. You're going to have to move out of this studio for a little while.
Dry your eyes, let's be sweethearts again.
Ouch, man, I just got stabbed by this hook.
Well, I'll do that later when it comes time for you to do it. Do the new from Erskine.
Okay.
I threw you off.
I certainly did. New from Erskine Hawkins and his orchestra with vocals by Jimmy Mitchell and Don't Cry, Baby on station KUWS.
So, how do you like Studio F?
This used to be a broom closet.
No, it didn't.
Ouch! I just got stabbed by this hook. There's hooks everywhere.
It used to be a cloak room.
How do you expect the two of us to fit in here?
I'll tell you one thing. Lou's not sitting on my lap to do his news.
Now, speaking of crybabies, boy, oh boy. You don't hear guys in tanks complaining about cramped spaces. You don't hear submariners whine about close quarters. Do tail gunners cry about being in a ball turret? Shame on you two.
You're right, Joe. That puts things in a good perspective.
How about Jack Haight's perspective?
Well, that's where the page got moved.
That's where my pages are.
10 somewhere. Was it after 12?
Yeah.
I'm 10.
Those two got moved, okay. By the way. There.
I hate perspective.
I hate perspective.
Yeah, it'll just be for a little while. It'll just be for a little while. You can make do. When the old studio's remodeled, you'll thank me. Now I've got to get busy. By the way, I don't expect the two of you to fit in here. I expect three of you to fit in here. Bye now.
Maybe I'll just hang on one of these coat hooks. It'll give us more room.
What did he mean?
Maybe I'll just hang on one of these coat hooks. It'll give us more room.
What did he mean, the three of you?
Yes, good evening. That gentleman told me you're transmitting from in here now.
That's what he meant.
Let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator, Gerald Stowe. Just try to find a spot.
Yes, quite snug in here. Nice and dank. Oh, excuse me.
Oof.
I'll just squeeze into this corner.
Ouch! Look out for my toes. What are you wearing, spiked heels?
Yes, no, I mean, I don't like spikes. There, now, aren't we all comfy?
I didn't think we could get a third guy in here.
I'm not sure how he'll get out. Maybe if he turned into a bat and flew out.
Yes, how humorous. I'm here tonight to tell you about articles sent home by servicemen and women now in the new war display case at the museum. Yes, Lieutenant Virginia Christman is an army nurse in Calcutta, India. She sends fine exotic linens that feel wonderful against my skin.
Oh, poor linens.
It reminds me of the linens in the Tsar's winter palace. That's before that bad man Rasputin laid his filthy hands on them. I've never seen such dirty fingernails.
You knew Rasputin?
Yes, I mean, of course not. Yes, these linens from Calcutta include two blue embroidered pillow tops, a lovely woven tablecloth embroidered with a distinct Indian excuse me. Yes, yes.
I've been stabbed.
And poisoned.
Okay, I'll take it from yes, I mean.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, of course not. Yes, these linens from Calcutta include two blue embroidered pillow tops, a lovely woven tablecloth embroidered with a distinct Indian design. Yes, beautiful. Also, yes, Lieutenant Christman sent six silver cocktail glasses, an ashtray and cigarette holder, all silver.
Wow, all silver?
I bet Mr. Stowe doesn't like silver.
Yes, I don't. And then two brass candlesticks with a red design, so ornate and useful for creatures of the night. But no, that's not all. From Italy, her brother, Lieutenant Robert Christman, sent many prized items, a replica of an old statue from the ruins of Vesuvius.
You probably remember that volcano Hey, Mr. Stowe.
It's not nice to make fun of a Transylvanian. Yes, Lieutenant Christman also sent a cigarette lighter made from the wreckage of an Italian plane and an inlaid cigarette box from Sorrento.
It'd be nice if he'd send Mussolini home in a box.
Thank you, Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe.
Yes, you're welcome. And good luck with this confined studio. I've seen bigger mausoleum.
Mausoleum. Got me.
Mazzola.
Maybe that's the way he'd say it.
Yes, you're welcome. And good luck with this confined studio. I've seen...
Dang.
Come on, you're an old fool.
I know. Dang it.
Mausoleum.
Yes. Yeah, I just... I can't stop laughing.
Yes, you're welcome. And good luck with this confined studio. I've seen bigger mausoleum.
Jeez, mausoleum.
I've got...
Jeez.
It gets
mausoleum.
God. It gets in you and it's hard to get rid of.
Boy, oh boy. All right, here we go. In 3, 2...
Yes, you're welcome. And good luck with this confined studio. I've seen bigger mausoleum.
Damn it. Mausoleum. I've seen bigger graveyard vaults. No.
And you're going to be in it.
Mausoleum, yeah.
You've got to say mausoleum 5 times.
Well, this is take 5, so here we go.
It's a Lou tip now. 5 right. times. Mausoleum.
Mausoleum, 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 mausoleum. All right, there we go.
That'll work.
3, 2.
Yes, you're welcome. And good luck with this confined studio. I've seen bigger mausoleum vaults than this.
On that cheery note, friends, on with the music. Let's enjoy Louis Jordan and his, Let's enjoy Louis Jordan and his
company.
It's infectious.
Mausoleum.
On that cheery note, on with the music, friends. Let's enjoy Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five and Choo Choo Chaboogie on the Martin and McKenna Show. Ouch.
Yes, sorry, excuse me.
It's those spiked heels again.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack. And pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie, woo-woo. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. You reach your destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. Take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack. So put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, chaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, chaboogie. Woo woo, woo woo, chaboogie. Choo choo, choo choo, chaboogie. Take me right back to the track.
Jordan and his Timpani Five with Choo 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 Boogie on station KUWS. Hiya, Bill.
Hey, Jack. Nice digs. Oof.
Well.
Say that one more time. I don't think I turned on the microphone quick enough. Because I was waiting for it. That's right. I'm in here. You got to say, hiya, Bill. That's right. I'm in here. Hiya, Bill. That's right. I'm in here. You're in this little closet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Hiya, Bill. That's right. I'm in here.
Hiya, Jack. Say, nice digs. Oof.
Watch out for those hooks.
Kind of cramped in here.
Cramped? We're so close I can tell you...
Huh?
Cramped. We're so close I can tell you had a peanut butter and pickle sandwich. Not too long ago, either. So now, from Studio F... In the old cloakroom.
Give him a big excitement. Kind of labor in there. So now from Studio F in the old cloakroom, that kind of thing, you know. Excitement.
I was thinking about something else at the time.
Stop thinking peanut butter and...
So now from Studio F in the old cloakroom, here's Bill Kirby with the sporting news.
Hey, aren't you glad you didn't have to do the rapid ray thing?
Yeah. Not enough room in here to do that.
Oh, hey, fans of the sporting news, catcher Ernie Lombardi beat out a bunt today. This astonishing effort sums up the spirit of the 1945 New York Giants and points out one of the reasons Mel Ott's gang is on top of the National League. Lombardi's bunt was incidental to the Giants' 5-0 victory over the Brooklyn Dodgers. 4 hits, including a homer from Steve Filipowicz and the third round tripper of the young season for old Mel Ott, did the job. Frankie Crosetti's 3-run pinch hit homer in the 8th wasn't enough to save the New York Yankees. It was Crow's first appearance of the season, but the Yanks fell to Washington's Mickey Hefner 6-4. The athletic director of the University of Texas is asking new baseball commissioner Senator A.B. Happy Chandler to stop drafting collegiate ballplayers. Dana Bible of Texas just lost his prize pitcher, 19-year-old Henry Culp, to the Southern Association's Memphis team. Good luck, kiddo. Hey, Fleet Swedish middle distance runner Gunder Hägg is running his final race in America. Hey, Fleet Swedish middle-distance runner Gunder Hägg is running his final race in America. He's sprinting a one-mile special in Philadelphia this weekend as part of the 51st Penn Relay Carnival. After that, the speedy necktie salesman Hägg will wrap up his running career stateside anyway. And Keglers take to the lanes this weekend at the Evening Telegram Bowling Festival. Single sweepstakes and team trophies are at stake with bowling at center. Wletzko's and Eagles bowling alleys. The Northern Beer Quint won the championship in the All-Star Circuit last night in a close run for the money over the Globe Shipyard 5. The Brewers took 2 games from Superior Packages Fuel, and Globe lost a pair to Wletzko's. This is Bill Kirby reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Boy, it's hot in here.
Well, you do steam up a Studio F. Thanks, buddy.
You do steam up Studio F. You just called him an F. You just steam up a Studio F.
You do steam up Studio F, partner. Thanks, buddy. Careful.
Oh, too late. Darn hooks.
We have time for one more number, folks. This is new on the 1945 Hit Parade. Dick Jurgens and Buddy Moreno with One Dozen Roses on the Martin and McKenna Cramped Show.
Put my heart in beside them and send them to the one I love. She'll be glad to receive them, and I know she'll believe them. There's something we've been talking of. There may be orange blossoms later, kind of think that there will. For she's done something to me, and my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love. Blossoms later, kind of think that they will. For she's done something to me, my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love.
Dick Jurgens and Buddy Marino with One Dozen Roses on Station KUWS.
I have this news flash just in from the German-Swiss border. An effort to establish a new German government by Reichsbank President Walter Funk has failed. From San Francisco, Secretary of State Edward Stettinius refused to confirm that a German offer... a surrender offer by Germany has been turned down because it excluded Russia. From Magdeburg, Germany, captured German High Command spokesman Lieutenant General Kurt Dittmar has told interrogators that the war will end in a few days and that Hitler and Goebbels will take their own lives.
Holy smokes, that's big news.
Why does it seem even more crowded in here? Have you gained weight in the past 15 minutes?
Good thing we don't have claustrophobia.
As long as we're broadcasting from a broom closet.
Cloakroom?
Cloakroom, I want you to have this.
Lifebuoy soap?
It's a deodorant soap. Nothing personal.
None taken. Nice scent.
817.
I went right down to another one.
17.
Okay. It's just the close space and things.
I understand perfectly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here's a little something for you.
Listerine?
Takes care of news breath in these close settings.
Would you just say settings?
Yeah.
News breath?
Nothing personal, pal. Stay tuned, friends, for America in the Air, your hit parade. And Tin Pan Alley tonight. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing.
And if we don't kill each other, news breath, my foot.
They've got something for... they've got something for feet, too, you know. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Joel Anderson, Al Katz, Peter Nordgren, John Munson, John Munsell, Ray Paulson, Don Mason, Kathy Loxo, Joey Laporte, Pat Kelly, Brian Matuzak, Gene Andreese, and Kathy Bergren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.